Kate Lochte has joined me in the studios, and on the phone we have Glenda Atkison. She's the instructor for a Homeland Security certified course on responding to the functional needs populations of rural America. It's going to be in Grand Rivers on January 24th. Good morning, and welcome to Sounds Good.
Thank you. Good morning to you.
Glenda, that's a whole lot of official speak for what I see you doing as a very comprehensive planning course. Would you put it into plain English what you're going to be doing as the instructor for this course?
Absolutely. To give you just a little background, I will tell you that after September the 11th of 2001, our country recognized the need for a more coordinated and reliable system to respond to crisis events. And since that time, many changes have come into play. Among those was the establishment of RDPC, which is the Rural Domestic Preparedness Consortium. Now, this was established by Congress and the United States Department of Homeland Security for the purpose of developing and delivering all hazards training to rural communities. And what I mean by that is anything that could happen, whether it's a man-made disaster or natural disaster, how do we plan for those things and the special considerations within rural communities? To tell you a little bit about the course, Response Planning for Functional Needs Populations, I'll start with the purpose. And the purpose of the course is actually to ensure the safety of individuals that do have functional needs by increasing knowledge in the area of planning and how we as a community work with those individuals to make better plans. And so that is the big picture question.
When you say functional needs, specify what people you are talking about.
Well, and it's interesting that you ask that question, because that is probably one of the first things we do in this course, is we examine what does that mean, a functional need. Often, we think of individuals that have special medical needs. But in this course, we realize that the functional need really goes far beyond special medical needs or mobility issues, individuals with mobility issues. And we look at individuals in the community that may struggle to maintain their independence on a good day. And certainly, if a crisis happens, this is really going to create a struggle for certain individuals. It may be people that speak little or no English. It may be a minority culture, just any culture that is not in the majority, and perhaps they do things a little differently, or it may be someone with hearing impairments or sight impairments, those kinds of considerations. Certainly, individuals that are living in abject poverty are included in this. And we look at reasons why individuals that live in poverty might be needed. You know, we might need to consider them when we are making our plans for crisis management.
Wow. So what body of knowledge of planning do you bring to the table? Where does all of the understanding of the needs come from?
Well, certainly we look at, of course, this course is presented nationwide, and we look at best practices. We look at challenges, the history of different events from across the country. And one of the first things we do is we begin to identify the needs that different groups have. These may be transportation needs that come from sheltering. As you might imagine, those individuals that have mobility issues, transporting an individual with those type of needs requires certain training, requires certain considerations. When you look at special medical needs, that may include special considerations for nutrition, it may have to take into consideration special planning for how to transport certain medications. They may need to be refrigerated, or there may be considerations during an event, say, for example, where you don't have power, there's a power outage. But we look at a comprehensive look at identifying the needs of this population, and then we begin to formulate strategies of how individuals with functional needs that are living independently in our community can help better prepare for themselves. Certainly, we take into consideration those individuals that are living with caregivers, and that may include assisted living facilities or nursing homes. We look at big picture strategies for community planning, and one of the most important things that we talk about is how we include individuals that have functional needs and their caregivers. How do we include them into the planning process? Because that is very important that they have a voice at the table.
Hey, Glenda, personally, what life experiences have brought you to your expertise in this area?
Well, I have been a nurse for about 20 years, and I spent a good number of years working in a school system. I actually was a school nurse for a number of years and was responsible for the school district's at functional needs populations, and at the time it was called the multi-medically handicapped unit. But basically it was those individuals that couldn't be mainstreamed. And then in addition to that, those individuals that did have special concerns and special medical needs that were in the mainstreamed into the regular classroom. And so I had that responsibility, and it was not only an educational element for the school district, but for those individuals and families as well. And so that gave me a lot of insight. I also served as the executive director for the American Red Cross for a number of years, and then went on to, for the last 2 years, I have been doing business continuity training, which is in addition to teaching the Homeland Security courses, but the continuity training speaks to how we need to make resiliency plans for any interruption. So I earned my international certification on the Business Continuity International Standards through the Business Continuity Institute, and so. Along with personal experience, work and life experience, as well as the specialized training in those areas, it has helped me to be able to share some of these experiences. And quite frankly, as I travel across the country and teach these Homeland Security courses, you gain so much because every community has a different focus, and some of them have very strong initiatives to address the needs of functional needs populations. And then other communities may not be as far along in the process. And so you certainly pick up best practices from across the country.
Sure. Now, I was a little worried when asking you to speak with us today about the course that it the registration is due this Thursday, and there are some prerequisites for the course. Would you speak to those and how a person does go ahead and register for this course?
Yes. They can register by contacting Tina Massengill, and the email address is tina.massengill, MASSENGILL at ky.gov. And the deadline is January the 10th. They can also call the phone number, which is 270-252-2710. Again, that's 270-252-2710. I will tell you that it is very important that we have the minimum number of registrations for it to be approved to go ahead with the course. But if someone does want to come in at the last minute, often we are able to accommodate those individuals as well, because it is an important course, and we do want to get the information out. There is a prerequisite of some FEMA courses, just the basic courses of Incident Command 100. It's very helpful. I will tell you that we have had individuals that were not able to complete those prerequisites, and I would say that we will make the course so that people are able to understand the course and stay with the material. So do not, you know, I would encourage people not to let that be a total deterrent. We do highly recommend that they have the course, but if they have not, to please come on and take advantage of this very valuable training, because it is covered under Homeland Security grant, and it is made available at no cost to participants.
And it's coming up January 24th at the Grand River Senior Community Center, which is at 155 West Cumberland in Grand Rivers, from 8 to 5.
Correct.
Will you guys be providing a lunch?
We break for lunch. We take a break. Now, we always do have coffee and water for the participants, but then we take a break in the middle of the day, and individuals are on their own for lunch. Toward the end of the day, I will go back and include this. We do have at the very end of the day a time where we pull in all of the concepts that were discussed throughout the day, and we have an exercise to put into practice all of the planning concepts that we've discussed throughout the day. And most participants find that very useful.
I would think that there's a lot of thoughtful outcome for consideration after the actual experience. And I'm wondering, Glenda, is it possible to get those ICS courses online through the Kentucky Emergency Management website? At some point in time, I thought some of those were, or the FEMA website itself, where you can go ahead and register and just, it's a do-it-yourself thing, and it's actually pretty quick.
It is very quick. It can be done within just a couple of hours, but it's FEMA.gov. And if they just, for example, if they were to search for IC100, or just go to FEMA training, it is on the FEMA website and very quick to go through. They can go through it online. And what that does is it basically gives them a broad picture of our national response framework.
Yeah, a lot of people don't understand that there is a pecking order and a very clear organizational plan out there that all of our communities are plugging into in their own planning.
Well, that is true, and individual businesses, for example, that take the business continuity planning, which is another course, by the way, that is offered through RDPC. But if they take that course, what they realize is that the structure for responding to an incident that may only involve your business can be utilized in the same way that a major statewide event or multi-state event is handled, because this can be expanded or contracted based on the size and complexity of whatever the crisis event may be. And it also helps individuals, whether it is business owners, church or community leaders, government leaders, emergency management, know how the public and private sectors work together. And as you mentioned, it's important to know who is in charge. It's important to know exactly what we do next. That way, when there's an event, we don't just go into panic mode, but we go out and we have an understanding of what steps need to be taken and what considerations need to be in place. And certainly, you go into that type of situation with much more confidence once you have a plan in place. And that's what we're trying to do, is help people, individuals, and communities get a good plan in place.
Well, Glenda, you've explained it very clearly, and I thank you for taking time with us this afternoon to do so. Again, Glenda Atkinson is the instructor for a one-day course in planning for helping people with functional needs during emergency situations. Glenda, thank you again.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.